There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
New leader, Corey LaJoie on the outside, taking it from Ricky Stenhouse.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hey, guys. We're stacking pennies live here, buddy. In the Harley J. Earl Suites. First time I've been up here. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, I think I've been coming here for almost 20 years, and this is the second time I've been on this side of the racetrack.
It's fun to be a fan sometimes. I've been out here a couple times. Blue Green Vacations has a pretty cool suite over here. But this is a very nice one. Do you know who Harley J. Earl is, by chance?
I know the trophy's named after him, for sure.
I pulled its Wikipedia page up. So those who are in here and don't know who Harley J. Earl is, let me give you all a little Wikipedia lesson. Harley Jarvis Earl was born in 1893 and died in 1969. And he was an American automotive designer and business executive. He was the initial designated head of design at General Motors, later becoming vice president, the first top executive ever appointed in design of a major corporation in American history. He was an industrial designer and a pioneer of transportation design, a coach builder by trade. This fellow was building coaches behind a horse before they even had cars. And he designed this concept car, which is now on top of the Daytona 500 trophy, and I feel like that's accurate because we are all racing for that tomorrow night, potentially Monday night, but let's hope that's not the case. Yeah. So we have seen a lot of racing thus far when it has been dry. We have seen the duels. We saw Wednesday night, we saw a single car qualifying with Joseph Logano and Michael McDowell, dark horse, on the front row. What'd you think when you saw that?
That was, you know, I was impressed because the Chevy, they beat the Chevys, you know, with a new car. You kind of come down here and always think about Hendrick Motorsports being on the pole, but with a new car, the Fords, we know Michael McDowell, Peterson. We've been friends with
Travis
him a long
Peterson.
Time.
So Northwest Cabarrus High School education.
Yeah, he's got everybody pulling the rope in the same direction over there. So it's not a coincidence that they qualified on the pole. It's not a coincidence that they've won a Daytona 500. But I don't know, man. The Toyotas weren't very fast, but then when the rag dropped for the race, they won both the duels.
Yeah, they were good. They know what they're doing. I think that I don't know if this is how they envisioned it, but I think that Toyota Camry that may or may not look like an orca whale that you see at SeaWorld is a little bit draggy when it's single car runs.
I was drove by SeaWorld yesterday, and the only thing I thought of was
Denny Hamlin's car.
You talking about Splash Zone.
So I talked to McDowell on Thursday, right? And I'm like, man, you guys laid a heater down. And he goes, so I talked to Peterson all day in tech, and he said, there is nothing else. There's just people excited to come to the Harley J. Come on in, man. The water's fine. He said, there's nothing else that I can do. If we don't make the second round, this is Travis Peterson, Michael McDowell's crew chief talking. If we don't make the second round, I am never working on a Speedway car ever again. And Michael said, if you think that there is any way in hell that this car will make second round of qualifying, I would, there's no chance. Sure enough, that thing was at fourth, first round, and then second in the second round, and that just goes to show. Stacking pennies here in every area of that aerodynamic car can get you some speed.
Well, to that point, you never see Paul Wolf excited. And
he was fired
up.
You
know, he was fired up, so I went in the trailer the next day, and even more fired up than him was Big Mark, who's their engine tuner, and he said, buddy, 32 years I've been coming through these gates, and that's a big deal for the team because Joey's like, frick, I didn't do anything. You know, I did nothing at all. But for the team guys, like, this is their time to showcase the preparation they have over the off season. So it was really cool. Like, it meant so much for Big Mark's motor to be on the pole and, you know, Paul Wolf and his whole team.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Oh, let me hear it.
We had a really fast Blue Green Vacation Silverado last night. Anybody watch that race? We were in the hunt, passed about 400 trucks, and ended up getting crashed on the last lap. A lot of fun. But anyways, we qualified third in that hot rod. Brian Patty was the crew chief on that thing. He had he won the pole for the first next-gen race here at Daytona with Ricky Stenhouse. So obviously that fella knows how to make a car go fast in a circle. And, you know, what really grinds my gears is people weren't sticking a microphone in my face after I qualified 34th for the cup race on Wednesday. Everybody wants to talk to you and say you did a good job on Saturday when you or Friday when you qualified, and you did nothing different. So that's what really grinds my gears, because it is a 100% team strength of how fast of a hot rod you sit on for Daytona qualifying.
What do you want them to do, walk back there and be like, hey, man, qualified 34th, how'd you do it?
No, I want them, yeah. No, I want them to talk to my front-end mechanic and be like, hey, man, good job. Thank you for staying until midnight the last couple weeks building this thing.
Yeah, the motor guy.
Yeah, that should the motor guy. Hey, how'd that hot rod run?
Yeah.
Yeah, we put a, 15% throttle plate in this thing and ran pretty good.
Got new valve springs in here.
Yeah, it's so bizarre to me. And it really grinds my gears.
You know what really ground my gears?
What?
When you were backwards with the 17 flipping over you last night.
That was wild.
I was yelling at the TV. I was so frustrated, but.
Well, since that's fresh in our mind, let's just go ahead and recap that. So we start third. Caution comes out lap 7. We come down and try to put ourselves in a little bit better fuel situation. Nobody else came, so then we were kind of fighting from the back. Fast forward a little bit. We went forward, back, forward, back, and we pitted again. I don't know when it was, and I was like last because we're the only one that came down pit road. Both lines are probably 12 cars deep, and there's really nowhere to go. So I was like, let's just get this third lane working. And so I drug roll back as far back as I knew I wouldn't lose the draft and got like a Dale Earnhardt turbo speed run. And it was probably 700 more RPMs than I'd seen all night, and literally went from last to first. I was like, guys, this is the run you dream of. Here we go.
Somebody get this on tape?
are you watching this?
Anybody see that?
That was unbelievable. So then we got back to a pretty good spot. We had 3 Spire trucks right up in the mix, 4 actually at one point, with the 77, us, Rajah Carruth, and the 2 is a Spire truck as well. And a couple pushes, couple restarts, it just didn't go our way.
So they're all young guys. It looked to me like, especially on restarts, like you can get through the gears better. You can almost get through it almost too good, and it also, like, you could tell that you do this at a high level for a living compared to those guys that are trying to cut their way, because, like, you get to the corner, you'd be split to the right, pushing a guy around the corner instead of giving him a bad, causing a wreck, and you'd see, man, the ARCA race, too, and the truck race, when you watch it on TV.
ARCA race is still finishing up.
I don't know. They might come back next week.
When I came up, they were like, halfway through.
They're going to have to start racing rental cars because there's nothing left.
Jeez. Who won that race last night?
Gus Dean?
Father 50, Time, 55? I thought, was going to win that one.
I don't know. I tried valiantly.
Tony Breidinger was big mad at Gus Dean last night.
Yeah, he did not.
Anybody watch that interview?
She didn't even use his name. Just number 55.
Yeah.
It was like stroke race when he's like, who's number 10? I've been racing against him for a decade. Yeah, number 10.
Well, we were laughing about it this morning. We were laughing with him, not at him. SVG came on the podcast last week. He's going to be a regular guest on the show. And we said, buddy, I don't want to make you nervous or nothing, but they do call the ARCA race the Organ Donor 200, so just be careful.
Yeah.
Third lap of the race, this guy's spinning backwards through the grass.
Can't say we didn't warn him.
We gave him a fair warning.
And he kind of shrugged it off, like, no.
No, no.
Listen here, hey.
No, no, you go give them belts a little extra tuggy-tuggy before you roll out.
We're not being dramatic. We've seen this, but.
We gave him a heads up.
Yeah.
We saved his life. He might not have, his belts might not have been tight.
Yeah.
Wasn't for us, give them a heads up. But they repaired it. Steve-O back there put some Bondo on that thing. I think that was one of those because SVG had to run the ARCA race to an extent to get like the okay, like everybody good? Okay, we're good. To run the Xfinity race today. So they made that poor fellow ride around wounded for the 4 hours left of that race just so you can get certified to go race today.
Welcome
but I'm
to
glad
America.
To see you. Welcome to America. America. That's how we do things around here, son. Okay, guys, for the first time ever, Chili's has given you the opportunity to be a winner at Daytona with the Quecharita on my Camaro going down there. Try to scan the QR codes on my Chili's car for a chance to win
free Chili's gift cards or a VIP race experience. But it won't be easy. I'm going to be going 200 miles an hour. So you better get out your phone camera and try to get them codes. Or go to chilisquecharita.com for rules and regulations. Make sure you drink responsibly and don't try this in your car.
So your truck race, what did you learn that you could take into Sunday?
I've been walking around telling everybody who'll listen, which isn't very many people, I wish the cup cars drove as bad as the trucks did.
Really?
It would be an unbelievable race. The cup cars drive so good. Now, you've got the engineering piece and the no-ride height piece and 600-pound rear springs in the truck. Like, without boring you the details, trucks drive like if you took your rental car and just souped it up and drove around here. Like, they're floppy, and they move all around, and they punch such a big hole in the air. You can put yourself in a really bad aero spot really quick, where the cup cars are just, like, stuck to the ground. So you don't see many guys get out of shape. So all you see is bad pushes. And guys get out of shape, and then they collect because you're on the left for a stop, and then you're just a passenger at that point in time. So I think in the car or in the truck, it was so fun. You were able to have a lot more options. You watch tape here. We're watching in the Harley Jarrell suite. These guys are moving all around. Mark Martin just wrecked the field here. Attaboy, Mark. But like that, there's like four cars, and everybody, they're separated because the cars were hard to drive. Hard is a relative term, right? It's hard to position yourself in the cup car because there are 40 trained professionals on the roof, in the driver's seat, and on the pit boxes. In the truck series, there's like some guy that is a welcoming guy at Walmart, then he happens to be like the crew chief of a truck on Friday.
So I don't know.
The level of preparation.
Far.
No, there was a couple trucks last night, bro. I was like, who is this fella?
Get me away from this guy.
Yes. But nonetheless, confidence to know what we're doing, right? Confidence is always a big thing, especially here when you want to go be assertive with your moves you make, the blocks, how late you can cover them. And it's just more reps for TJ Bell, who's my spot on the roof, between him and I just communicating and being on the same page. So that was that. But we jumped too forward. We did run two duels, blue-green vacation duels, going on Thursday night. One, as you mentioned, two Camrys. What stood out to you? You were in Disneyland.
I was at the duels, though. I drove here.
Oh, that's right.
I had to work. Yeah,
that's right.
I was there.
Did you even work? Did you even change tires?
I mean, I stood there and watched Chris gas the 12 car.
Give one of these.
I was like,
you drove all the way here to give a thumbs up.
Our gas man is a Chris Conklin, ex-NFL guy, absolute stud. And there's a term we have on the 12 car in fuel mileage races. It's consider it full. So, like, it was no less than when that – because we came in and he jumped a couple cars on pit road, and I just said – I had no idea. I just said, consider it full.
It's full.
I was like, I hope it's full, so I'm not eating my words. But, yeah, he got it. He got it full enough to get it right to the scene of the crash, which was one of the biggest crashes.
Yeah. It's like Ryan Blaney's two for two at Daytona for absolutely gnarly head-on collisions. Oh.
But, so you just got out of a driver advisory council meeting.
Yeah.
So you guys, you know, helped NASCAR pull the rope. And one of the things that we've looked at over the years is that front-end collision with that impact, and the car, I will say that I looked at that car pretty closely, and it was wrecked, but so when they were hitting the fence and getting hurt, right, the easy thing to say is, we'll just make it softer. Well, then you get to a point where it's too soft.
And the engine's coming in to get you.
Yeah, so when the car crushes, it gets to the motor, and then when it gets to the motor, it makes everything solid, and that hurts you as well. So what I saw on that car was that it crushed the right amount. It actually got the valve cover and everything on the motor, but when it got there, it did everything it was supposed to do, and Ryan got right out and walked away where, you know, with the first version of the next-gen car, he would have been shooken up for sure. He'd have been in probably concussion protocol.
He said that was a big one. I talked to him. He was a bit sore the next day, as anybody would when you hit something head-on at 170 miles an hour. But there was some drama. Who would have thought that we would have had in 2024 a J.J. Yaley, Jimmy Johnson battle to the line?
I was
in the Daytona 500.
I was nervous watching it, and I had nothing invested in either of them.
Oh, Jimmy on there. I need that spot. Tell the 43 I need that spot. I was like, go get the spot.
Well, and that's what I thought too. I'm like, man, because there is no two bigger fans of Jimmy Johnson than us, right?
No.
Like, the first 5 years I spent working in the sport, he won every championship. And but now, fast forward, we've seen him to where he's racing J.J. Yeley for the last spot to get in the Daytona 500. So it's come full circle, but I was happy he was able to make it. And, like, when you look at him, he's done so much in the sport and accomplished so much. And he was like, man, I could feel the weight of the moment when I was walking out of the bus. And, like, he was so nervous. And I'm like, holy, dude.
He's
for
one
guy that's in the Hall of Fame to be nervous
currently
about a duel at Daytona. Yeah. It's like you feel the weight of that moment.
Well, that just goes to show that guy's won every single thing. Seven-time champion, two-time Daytona 500 champion. He's won it. Well, he's won it all. Everything you can dream of, that guy's won it. And he was nervous walking out of his bus for a qualifying race. Right? That's how
putting,
much.
Dude, he could go to England or wherever he wants to live and count his money, but
he
keeps
does.
Putting himself in these high-pressure situations. So
he
shout
in,
out to him.
He lives in London.
You sound like you're from London.
Yeah, he lives in London now.
Yeah.
So they do things a little different over there. But we still claim him. Jimmy Johnson's ours. So that 84 car, Kaz Grala, who's the other open cars in this thing? The 60 of David Reagan.
David Reagan.
BJ. And Anthony Chicken Alfredo is in this race as well.
BJ and JJ went home.
Hate to see it.
Yeah, it was tough.
Hate to see it. Macho Man was up there. He missed it by 4 feet. I wonder, I would have loved to seen, the whole time I was thinking, I'm like, come on, BJ, come on, baby. When he narrowly missed, the whole time I was thinking, when he was in position to make it, what sort of sponsor is going to be on BJ's all-black car for the 500?
Oh, some
Affliction.
Studded boot company?
Yes, something. Something would have been absolutely great because they'd have done some cool stuff had he made it, but unfortunately he's watching from the couch.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there are 40 of us that are not on the couch come Sunday or maybe Monday.
Yeah,
but who knows?
We'll be ready whenever it dries up.
Yeah, that's right. So
talk to me about your duel.
So I was in the first duel. We started 18th, 17th or 18th, I believe. Top lane opened up and we shuffled to the front. Jimmy Johnson was pushing us. He pushed us really well. I think the front of those Orca Whale Camrys really square you up good and can push you straight. So he pushed us out to the lead, led a couple laps.
I was thinking that what I was thinking about when I watched that, not to cut you off, is when you first made your first Daytona 500, it was because of advice from Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
And he, you know, made the call to help get you that ride.
Yeah.
And then you were pulling him to the front, and I'm like, this is poetic justice.
This is poetic justice. You can't even write these. You can't even script these lines. So that was good to see. Seven time in my mirror pushing us.
And the next thing I saw, he was backwards in the grass. So I don't know what happened there.
In between that, by the time we were first and second, and then when he was backwards was a little bit of a downturn of events, but I'm glad he wasn't too banged up to finish. So we were in a decent spot, and then the whole thing is green flag pit entries, right? Whichever organization or whichever OEM gets organized to come down and gets organized in and organized off is the one that's going to eventually leapfrog their way to the front of the pack once it all back collects. I think Tyler Reddick was in the third lane top and literally just hung a left, didn't care who was underneath of him, stacks the whole lane up, and we went from like ninth to dead last. So we try to recover. We were buried in track position, and we just never really able to fight back after that. But teammate finished good. Carson finished fourth. He'll start ninth for the 500. But it's a long one, buddy.
Which that's an etiquette thing coming to pit road. It's like, hey, we're gonna let
you
know
about
we're
a wave?
Gonna get down.
How about a like? I don't know. Don't yank it down into oncoming traffic.
It's like not turning your blinker on.
Yeah, at 200.
Like the spotters tell you, like, hey, we're getting ready to come, and you'll work your way to the bottom.
But there's not much etiquette anymore because, like, I think they want to break up everybody that's staying out there because the more you can break up the people that aren't coming, the longer it takes for them to get organized and the more time you lose if you're coming down.
Yeah.
So that's some dirty tricks, ladies and gentlemen. Some dirty tricks.
And that pit road, dude. Not saying this because I'm a pit crew guy, but it could very well decide how this finishes.
Can't win it, but certainly can lose it.
It's definitely going to decide the running order coming off pit road.
Yeah.
And if it's a green flag run, it's a little bit different this year than years past because there's no reserve switch. So when you're out of gas, like if you run out of gas,
there is no reserve switch.
There's no reserve switch. This is news to you, but there's only one pump in the fuel cell now.
Are you sure?
I'm 1,000% positive. So if you run out of gas at the start finish line, you might not make it back around. So you're going to be, like you used to always, the term was always, you run to the switch. Because if you run out of gas, it'll fumble.
There's like a half a gallon in this little baffle, and it can get you home.
Yeah, you'll flip the switch, it'll get you back around. Well, this track's so big that if you run out of gas, you might not get back. So you're going to have to call the race more conservative. So figuring out, like, you might not run, or you might try to run longer or not run as long. But what Talladega and what Daytona has become is you don't want to be the guy leading in the line. Because if you're the guy pulling the line around, you're using more gas than the guys three or four back that are able to save in the draft. So when you come to pit road, if everything goes right and you have a clean, everybody has clean exchanges, the guys that are running four or five cars back have to take less fuel because they've been saving. So essentially they'll jump you on pit road and be out in front of you. So that's kind of the game now. And that's kind of how the 12 car won Talladega.
Those are the pennies, man. Like a half a second less of gas because you've been riding third or fourth in line, you'd be able to run 60% for 15, 20 laps. So you have more fuel in your tank when you come down, less time, plug-in time. So, like, it's going to be, as the field continues to condense with Delta from the fastest car to the slowest car, like, tenths of a second in fueling time, tenths of a second on pit road rolling time are going to be what sets somebody up if they're holding the Harley JRL trophy.
I'm glad that we talk about the switch now because, you know, it's one of those things you don't look for until you need it.
It's like insurance.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was going to be reaching for it, like, oh no.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everybody pay attention. I got a great story. So I was catching up with a good friend of mine over at NASCAR, and he's privy to a lot of NASCAR information. And I asked him if I can share this as an anonymous source, and he said, okay. I said, man, I really do feel like, and we've been preaching this for years now on the podcast, we want to try to help NASCAR become cool again in pop culture and all these celebrities. We want people to just acknowledge a sport for what it is because it is a badass American sport that you can't get enough of. So as you can tell, we have DJ Colin and Dwayne The Rock Johnson coming tomorrow. Apparently, logistically speaking, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has a lot. So some guys have, like, riders, right? Some people only want green M&M. Some guys, you know, want fruit snacks, and they want a little tray with, like, Aquafina. I don't know. The Rock, being that he's here for more than one day, they're putting him up in a hotel. I can't tell you where that's at, but it's across the street. NASCAR owns it. And The Rock can't go a day. I don't know the exact time. I'm going to say it's 24 hours. Can't go more than 24 hours without working out. And no, you can't just rent out, because they asked about this. You can't just rent out a Gold's Gym. Not good enough. They had to get the suite adjacent to his room, take the furniture out of his room, ship in workout equipment into the room. So The Rock has his suite over there and a workout suite to work out twice for the 36 hours he's in Daytona. I would hate to be the fella that's in rooming underneath that as he's 4:45 in the morning doing 500-pound deadlifts.
Ugh.
Tonight. Go make sure you take an Ambien.
Hope they got
go
the right
bed.
Equipment. Yeah. Walks in there, it's like squat rack. He's like, no, it's arm day. Sorry, this
well,
isn't going to work.
It's always arm day when you're The Rock.
Yeah.
So I thought that was super interesting. I'd love to meet that fella.
Give him a stone cold stunner. Just get out of nowhere.
I don't know. I think he always stays ready for that.
Every time I meet somebody like him, like a professional athlete or somebody that looks big on TV and you see him in person, you're like, oh, you're way bigger.
You're way bigger than I expected. Yeah. There's been, you know, a couple of basketball players. But I think overall, man, that's the message. NASCAR is getting cool again. A lot of energy.
We were driving.
Duels were full.
My daughter said, is Maui going to be here?
Yes.
She knows him as Maui from Moana.
Maui will be. Now he will be. As we all know, too, we're sitting here. I hear some, rain jackets and some waterproof shoes squeaking around. We're up against Mother Nature here, ladies and gentlemen. We already have some sprinkles and some spritzes going on. You said it was raining sideways when you were coming up I-4 here today. Not looking promising.
No, but, you know, there's nothing we can do about the weather. And
no, there's not.
We'll just all be ready when I get that question a lot when we come down here. They're like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when it rains? And
it's
like,
Florida,
I'm going to try
man,
to get the
rains.
Sunday first. I don't know. And then, like, I guess I'll just wear my rain boots and put the rain sides on the pit box. I don't know. And get ready for when it stops raining.
Yeah. Oh, look, Big Rand's on the TV. So, shout out to Big Rand. There's only three cars on the lead lap at that point in time.
Back when racing was great.
Yeah.
There's only three cars on the lead lap.
So, I remember, if you take a peek at the screen over the 74. There is Big Don LaJoy.
Look at
that. That'd have been 96 or 7. Big Rand won three times. So
he always had the raccoon eyes. Because he would, while we're on the beach and I had my sunglasses on. So Jonathan Merriman pointed out last year, every preseason picture, he has like the real bad sunglass tan.
Well, a friend of ours had, back in the day, they had a beach house in Flagler Beach. So aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins, we'd pack 25 of us in this house. And we'd come down there like a week early, right? So dad would not put any sunscreen on his face. And then Wednesday when you get here the first day, you go take your pictures for the year. And every year for like 10 years, he would have just raccoon look like he'd been sunbathing.
Look like a gargoyle commercial.
So it's been a blast. Ever since I started, this is my eighth Daytona 500, we've gotten a beach house in New Smyrna Beach, and we kind of continue that tradition with grandpa and aunts and uncles and cousins. You guys have crashed with us the last couple of years. It's been a blast. So it's cool. Just Daytona's turned into like a family tradition for us. I was talking to dad. You know, dad's got a unique way of looking at the sport, listening to my radio. But I was watching. I just happened to be sitting on the couch. This is probably a couple months ago. And on FS1, they do a rerun of like the 2001 Busch Grand National race. So dad won that one. And I, you know, when you're 10 years old, you don't know strategy. You don't know what works. You just know if dad wins, right? Then you go take pictures. So I've always thought that like dad can see the air like Dale Earnhardt. Dad lost a lap and made it back like Bill Elliott style by himself and literally unlapped himself. And I'm like, dad, there's no drafting when you have a car that's 3 seconds faster than everybody else. That doesn't count. So, all in all, lucky for him, he had a freaking hot rod that day. But
yeah,
drafting's a bit different these days.
It's not that way anymore. Like we just saw, right? Like I think the whole field was separated by within a half second during qualifying the other day. There it was like two or three,
probably a half second from first to second.
Yeah. So it's a lot different now. It's way more competitive. And to your point, you know, with the trucks being harder to drive, the cup cars, since they drive better, you just drive them harder, right?
Yes.
You just go to the limit. So that's why you're going to see a lot of action come when this race fires off.
Oh, it's going to fire off more than likely, just so you guys can adjust rooms and start planning. Well, let's just assume for a second, today's Saturday, that it's still moist and there's nothing going on at 2 o'clock. There's a Chili's. I'll be at a Chili's, probably bartending, pouring some Presidente margaritas. So if you guys are bored and want to ride over there, Leanne, which Chili's is it? Is it Ormond Beach? If you want some chips and sauce and a Presidente margarita, I'll have you covered up at 2 o'clock to 3:30. Be there, be square. And then Sunday, let's just assume for a second that it gets rained on and we don't get to make circles. It'll more than likely be Monday night prime time racing. So adjust the schedules accordingly. Cross our fingers for Sunday afternoon.
Dude, I finally got to see the Presidente Margarita fuel can commercial.
Did you see it? Anybody seen that commercial? Anybody seen that commercial yet? Three people, cool.
Thanks for paying attention.
Watch the broadcast. Did Adam Stern post it?
I think NASCAR posted it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
So I was a mad scientist. They wrote some lines. They wanted me to be, what's the guy's name in Back to the Future?
Oh.
Got the crazy hair?
Yep.
Scientist. Doc. I was that guy, Doc. And they wanted me to like act like I was trying to make my race car run off margaritas. So I say that I've figured it out and I've cracked the code. I run off screen and they had, everybody knows what a Presidente Margarita Shaker looks like, the nice, cool looking blue with the cap. So they went and got the company that makes all the props for the Marvel movies to make a gigantic Presidente Margarita fuel can. So I come in off frame and I plug this gigantic margarita mixer into the car.
Great form, by the way.
It was. I stumbled in. It was a little heavy. Yep. A lot of margarita in that thing. Plug it up, flowed nice, fired up, and it sounded great until it doesn't. So then they rigged this box with, like, you know, like the T-shirt cannons. They chuck them in, you know, for football games. They had, like, this T-shirt cannon on a remote switch with, like, green baby powder. So they crank it up, and they put the noise in it, and it's running for a second. It stumbles, and then they hit this green powder. And it comes out of the hood, and there's, like, wrenches falling. It's pretty fun.
How many takes did you do with the green powder? Because they cleaned
that
up.
You got two. No, you got two takes. You got two takes. So all you,
that was it.
Yeah. Don't mess it up.
So it was a 30-second, maybe 25-second commercial. How long did it take to shoot?
I got there at 7:45 in the morning. I left at 8:30 p.m.
I would say. Were you supposed to be there at 7:45?
No, I was supposed to be there at 8. I was early.
Yeah, okay. 8:15.
So it was a long day. It was 14 hours shooting for 30
Damn,
seconds.
14 yeah. hours. That was great. Do it again.
Part of show business.
That's it.
But that's been such an amazing partnership this week. I've represented some really cool brands during the 500. As everybody knows, I had my face on the car with Old Spice a couple years ago. That thing got some traction. And then this one is the biggest. This one, there's QR codes all over the car. I don't know if you've seen that. If you happen to see it on TV or see it on my fire suit, you can get out your phone. You can scan a QR code. It'll take you to the website. You sign up, and you can have a chance of giving away two VIP race experiences to Coda or just free chips and salsa. Both are equally as good, to be honest. So I would recommend trying to do that. And also a lot of content we've done this week is pretty cool. But still a lot of fun stuff to be had. This week, like I said, I'll be at Chili's and I'll be around. And we got the Xfinity race coming up, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it is Monday. What else we got? We got penny stackers. There's been a ton of penny stackers. There's been a ton. Everybody in here is a penny stacker, each and every one of you. I appreciate you. I look right into your soul. I'm saying.
How many people give you pennies this week? Any?
like four or five the same day. And I took my pants off and I'm like getting changed. Before bed the other night, and Kelly's like, you chose a real freaking annoying thing to really claim onto as she takes off like 14 cents out of my just in pennies, right? It's like I have all these pennies and nothing to do with them.
You got more pennies than the fountain in the food court mall at the mall. The food
I got
court.
A lot of pennies. If you need some pennies for anything, like I started needing at the back of the hauler, like, you know, they do like leave a penny, take a penny.
Yeah.
I'd just leave a bunch of pennies, and you can take them if you want to.
Put a coin jar, like get the jug for
start
the water
get,
jug
start
back
giving
there.
Me some silver dollars, maybe some Buffalo nickels. Like I'm times are tough, man. I got two kids, one more kid coming. Diaper pennies don't buy diapers, so help a brother out.
Yeah, and make sure you guys, listen to us every week.
A lot of good feedback from everybody this week. YouTube is starting to take off. We've been working really hard. The team, Jeff and everybody at NASCAR has really been pumping a bunch of energy and effort into the YouTube. So I'd recommend to check that out. We got a lot of cool in-car camera stuff, a lot of B-roll stuff. Then SiriusXM. You guys look like you're some SiriusXMers in here. Just leave it on SiriusXM Channel 90. We're going to be on Tuesdays at 2. Been having a lot of fun with that as well. So if anywhere you want to hear our annoying voices, man, you can go find it. You don't have to look very far.
And if you have an Instagram, follow Stack of Pennies, giving out cool stuff, Arctic giveaway
every week. Make sure you guys go at @_StackingPennies. We're going to give something Arctic away every week. I don't know, man.
Keep your
just
drinks
trying,
cold, man.
Yeah.
Keep your drinks cold. Maybe cooler. Who knows?
Who knows? But as always, we would love it if you like, shout, share, download.
Rate and review.
We're here for you. I'm tapped out. But I'm going to tap out and go to Chili's. That's where I'm going, Ormond Beach, if y'all are sitting around. A lot of fun to be had. And I'll wrap it all up with this. This is the best car that I've ever had at the Daytona 500. We have some speed. We're able to lead a line. We're able to take a push well, and we handle. So it's going to be a methodical chess match for 500 miles when we run it. And that 7 car is going to be in the hunt, buddy. We're probably, 10,000 to 1, so maybe sprinkle a couple bucks on it, too, if you're feeling good.
Stacks and pennies.
I only take
car.
A third, so just Venmo me whenever you hit, and we'll call it square. That's it, everybody. That's Stack and Pennies. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thanks.